Audacity.com.
There we go. Okay. Sorry about that. All right, so we're talking about the king and his kingdom, and we're working through the parables of the kingdom found in Matthew 13. So last week, we looked at the first parable, which was called the sower and the seed. And today, we're going to look at the next story Jesus told, which talks about pretending to be something you're not. So here we have two bowls of fruit. One is real, it's this one, and one is fake, over here. Now it's pretty hard to tell, but can you see the differences? Take these apples, for example. They look pretty similar. I mean, all apples are kind of different shapes, so you probably couldn't tell at first glance. This one definitely does not smell like a real apple, and doesn't really sound like a real apple either. Kind of sounds like plastic. And I bet you if I took a bite into these, they would not taste the same. So, in the story today, Jesus talks about two things that look very similar, kind of like these bowls of fruit, but they're not the same. One is true and genuine, and the other one is not. So in Matthew 13, 24 through 29, it says, "Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, 'Sir, the fields where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?' 'An enemy has done this,' the farmer exclaimed. 'Should we pull out the weeds?' they asked. 'No,' he replied. 'You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn.'" So what are two things in this story that are different? The wheat and the weeds. So when I read this story, I pictured nice, tall-looking stalks of wheat mixed in with like those dandelions and prickerweeds in your backyard that you find. So when you look at it the way I picture it, they look pretty different. But the weeds in the story that Jesus is talking about is called darnel. And so darnel looks pretty much identical to wheat, but it's not. So some of them even call darnel wheat's evil twin because you can get really sick from eating it. So even though these two things aren't exactly the same, just like our fruit baskets, it's kind of hard to tell which one's real and which one's fake. It's the same thing in our story, and we have to look closely to see the differences. So the main difference is that the wheat will produce these golden kernels that can be used to make flours, to make yummy cakes and muffins and noodles and bread. But darnel produces these really black seeds that do not taste good probably, and they would not be good if you ate them. So in Jesus' story, there are two kinds of plants that look similar: the true wheat that is useful and good for you, and the fake wheat that is not so good for you. And only the good wheat is gathered into the barn, just like only the true followers of Jesus are a part of his kingdom. And so we need to be sure we are the real deal, not just a faker. So our bottom line today is you can't fake being a follower and a friend of Jesus. You can't fake being a follower and a friend of Jesus. So I have a question for everyone, so participate, yell out. So what are some things that we can do that show we are the real deal and not a faker when it comes to following Jesus? Shout them out. No? Okay, well, I'll give you some answers. So some things that you can do that show that we're the real deal is just simply praying every day, or praying, talking to Jesus. We can read our Bible and constantly learn about God. We can put others before ourselves, and we can go out of our way to help people. So those are some ideas for how you can make sure we're the real deal and not just faking when it comes to our faith. So we can't fake being a follower and a friend of Jesus. So we started learning a new song last week, and so my dad is going to come up, and we're going to learn a little bit more of it this week.
Let's move the table back. All right. Well, last week, I lost my words to this song. So this week, this should be a little better. All right, I've got them here. We're set. But we're going to review. So here's kind of the chorus. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. All right, let's sing that together. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. All right, now you got it there, all right? But I need a lot louder because it's really quiet out there and I'm kind of loud up here. So I need you to like kind of sing, shout it out, okay? This is what the kingdom... Much better. And you at home too. Man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. All right, and here's the verse. Some seeds fell upon the footpath. The birds came and carried them away. Some seeds fell among the thorns. They didn't make it all the way. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. All right, the next verse. Some seeds fell on rocky soil, and they didn't last very long. Some seeds fell upon the good soil, and they grew up big and strong. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seed upon the ground. Seeds fell all around. Okay, now this part's a little different. At night, the enemy came and scattered bad seed with the good. In the end, the wheat grew strong and turned out like it should. All right, let's sing that together. We'll try it. At night, the enemy came and scattered bad seed with the good. In the end, the wheat grew strong and turned out like it should. This is what the kingdom is like. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. One more time, let's hear you sing it out loud now. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. All right, you did a good job. Give yourself a hand. Well, we are, we're going to be rolling along into kind of the rest of the text of this passage because this is a parable that Jesus explained much further, and we didn't hear that part yet. So that's in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 36. And I'm going to read that through if you want to follow along in your Bibles there or on your app if you're not watching on your phone this morning. So Matthew 13, starting in verse 36. It says, then, leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field. Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. So just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. and the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Obviously, things take a little bit of a heavier turn here, and we're going to be diving into some thoughts for our adults. Kids, if you want to work on those coloring pages, you can, and listen along, but we're going to spend a few minutes just kind of looking at what Jesus said here. Now, there's a lot of things that we learn about the king and his kingdom from this story and from his explanation. Now, the biggest one that pops out in my mind when I'm hearing this explanation is that it talks about what happens when life is over. And it's, I don't know, not the most fun thing to hear. The bad weed is gathered up and burned, thrown into the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the kind of thing that makes us want to skip right over. Or maybe, you know, cover kids' ears or something, because we don't want to think about a God who would judge people and send them away. It's pretty clear, though, that Jesus is talking about a place here where the true wheat goes and where those who aren't the true wheat are. And it's not fun to think about, but it's what Jesus says will take place. There are a lot of people who want to believe there's this good place, like there's heaven, but there isn't a bad place. It's pretty tough to argue when you read the parable that Jesus told. But I do think what's really important to remember is that's even though that's the thing that jumps out at us maybe, it's the thing that jumps out to me, it's not the focal point of this story, right? It's not the focal point. Jesus is illustrating what the kingdom is like. So in the story, the master, who is Jesus, planted good seeds in the world, right? They're the people of the kingdom. We would expect them to produce a good fruit, or in this case, a good crop of wheat. But the twist in the story is that his crop is being sabotaged by the enemy. Right? So the enemy has mixed in some bad seed among the good. These bad seeds are difficult to spot because they aren't what they appear to be. Right? They're fake wheat, as we just heard about Megan talking about. They're imposters among the good wheat. Now, listen, there are always people who go to church or listen online who really haven't come to know Jesus yet. And you know, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're checking things out and trying to learn about Jesus. And maybe that's been going on even for a long time in your life. That's great. That's great. But that's not the people he's talking about here. Jesus is talking about those who call themselves followers, but actually pull people away from the truth. Right? They don't hold to the teachings of Jesus. Now, they might see themselves as followers of Jesus, but they don't live by God's word. Right? It's fake wheat. Fakers. Hypocrites, you could say, or imposters. Imposters. Now, let's face it, it can be hard to tell the difference between genuine followers of Jesus and imposters sometimes. But I think there's two things that will help us recognize when someone is the real deal. Okay, so first of all, if we are genuine, there will be fruit in our life. If we're genuine, there will be fruit in our life. Right? That's the parable we talked about last week, the sower and the seed, that it should produce 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. There should be some fruit in our lives that result of following Jesus. That those who are imposters in the kingdom, like the darnel or the fake wheat, that's going to produce something useless, something harmful even. So the fruit, or the lack of fruit, that's the evidence, right? If we are genuine, there will be fruit in our life. But the second thing that will reveal who is genuine, who is not, is this: if we're genuine, our life will reflect the truth of Scripture. Right? Our life will reflect the truth of Scripture. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he had all these teachings, and then he closes it with these words in Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, right? And he says it's going to hold up in the storms of life. And then verse 26 says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, right? It's never going to hold up. It's not going to last. So if we're genuine, our life will reflect the truth of Scripture. The Word of God is what's supposed to shape our perspective on what life is all about. Right? When we think we know better than God, when we think we know better than His Word, we say we're a follower of Jesus, but then we just ignore what He has to say. Well, we're fooling ourselves. Right? We're living a lie. I heard someone comment the other day, it wasn't exactly this, but something to this effect, like, look, don't tell me, oh, the Bible says this or the Bible says that. This is what I believe. This is who my God is. Look, if that's how we view God's Word, then God is just a figment of our imagination. He's whoever we make Him up to be, right? If we're genuine, our lives will reflect the truth of Scripture. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be wary a little bit of people who claim to be followers of Jesus but aren't actually following Jesus. And I think here's where that should hit close to home for us. We need to take a look at ourselves and be sure that's not us. Right? As a follower of Jesus, we need to take a look at ourselves and be sure that that's not who we are. So we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. I'm going to bring them up. And, you know, they're relevant to some of the things that we see going on around us these days. They're probably relevant to some issues that we struggle with in our own lives. Because I think it's important we kind of get real about that just for a few minutes. So, for instance, in Ephesians 4:29, God's word says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Right? That's the word of God. So if we say, well, I'm a Christian, but I use this terrible language. I make these inflammatory comments. These things that are condescending or name-calling or ridiculing. Well, you're an imposter. Right? That's like fake wheat. Galatians 5:19-20, God's word says this, and this is a long list here, but now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Right? Like that's not even the comprehensive list. It's stuff like this. So, if you say, I'm a Christian, but are raging and throwing fits of anger, then you're an imposter. You're like the fake wheat. If you say, I'm a Christian and are getting drunk, you're an imposter. If you say, I'm a Christian and yet are okay with the sex outside of God's design for marriage, you're an imposter. Or at least we're in danger of being. In fact, listen to the next words of that passage. It says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're not good wheat. You're fake wheat. You're not coming into the master's barn because of that. Like you're an imposter. That's the warning. That's the danger. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you say, I'm a Christian, but I believe all spiritual beliefs are true and good and fine, you're an imposter. Going a little Old Testament here, back in Job 34:19, talks about a God who shows no partiality to princes, nor regards the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hand. So if you say, I'm a Christian, but believe that your social status or your income level makes you better than others, you're an imposter. In Romans 10:12, God's word says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. And you can consider that or think of that as Jew and not Jewish. Everyone else, right? For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. So if you say I'm a Christian, but believe your ethnicity or your nationality is superior of those of other backgrounds, then, well, you're an imposter. Galatians 3:28, God's word says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there that is again, There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So if you say, I'm a Christian, but you believe your power and authority makes you something special. If you say, I'm a Christian, but you believe that you are better because you're a man or you're a woman, you're an imposter. Here's one that is pretty relevant for today. Acts 10:34 through 35, God's word says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So if you say I'm a Christian, but believe that one color of skin is better than another, you're an imposter. Right now, Bob and I were talking and we're like, you know, that as followers of Jesus, as people in the church, that should be something that is assumed. That should be something that goes unsaid. And, you know, it should just be true of us. But the events of the nation in recent weeks makes it pretty clear that we're nowhere near where we need to be on this one. So let me just say it again, right? If you say, I am a Christian, but believe one color of skin is better than another, then you're an imposter. I want you to think about that as we take a look at this video for a moment. What do you see? All people are created in the image and likeness of God. Yes, that image has been marred by sin, but we're all image bearers. And the kingdom is made up of, we're talking about the king and his kingdom, the kingdom is made up of people of every nation, every tribe, and every tongue, which means every color. And that's a pretty beautiful idea, isn't it? You know whose idea that was? That was God's. That was his. So let me say these things clearly about the issues that are going on in our nation these days, right? So racism is terrible. Police brutality, that's wrong. Murder is awful. Wherever these things are going on, there needs to be change. Right? And none of these things are reflective of the heart of God. And usually that's pretty easy to agree with, but then we've got another side to the story too. Because how we respond to these things is pretty important. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so we need to respond to injustice. That matters to God. He cares for those who are oppressed. But how we respond to injustice matters to God too. Don't be overcome by evil, he says. Like, don't ignore it. Don't give in to it. Don't let it win. Don't let it swallow you up. But overcome evil with good. So that's what the Word of God says. That's how God wants us to fight evil, with good. Because using evil means to accomplish a good purpose, it's not a godly approach. it's sin. So I think at the same time, because God's perspective is over all of this, when we see the rioting, destruction, physical violence that's going on, those things aren't the way of Christ either. So if you say, I'm a Christian, but like are okay with that stuff, or involved with that stuff, then, right, you're an imposter. We need to make sure our lives are reflecting the heart and the word of God in everything that we do. Now, I'm going to be the first one to admit that I don't understand all the complexities of this issue. Right? I'll also be the first to admit I don't have all the right answers, that's for sure. I don't have all the right words to say even for what's going on. But to be honest, there's a lot of verbal violence that is going on out there. Bob talked about that earlier. There's just a lot of arguing and fighting. You know, maybe sometimes it's better just to listen anyway. And God's word tells us that even. James 1, 19 through 20. Let every person be quick to hear. In other words, listen. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So if we say, I'm a Christian, but then we're spewing all kinds of verbal violence, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's out there on signs or whatever, that's not the answer. That's just the anger of man. It's not going to produce a right heart in anyone. And on top of that, it's not godly, right? It's sin. So, look, nobody has all the answers to the crisis in our nation and what this world is going through, but the thought that really kept coming back to me was this, that we have a God, Jesus Christ, who understands really all of it. Like, he has experienced everything on every side of this issue that I can think of, right? He knows, first of all, what it means to face injustice. He knows what it's like to face brutality. He faced hatred and hostility from the crowds who were against him. He was standing in opposition to those who were corrupted by power and position. There was all kinds of systemic oppression that he was facing. Leaders of his nation and the people who were a part of it, they all plotted and schemed against him. And ultimately, they took away his life. But unlike any one of us, Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, he was absolutely perfect. No checkered past, no guilt whatsoever, no sin in him at all. And yet he experienced every side of it. It's like the whole world was against him. And that same Jesus taught us, look, when someone presses you into service, go the extra mile. When someone tries to take from you, give them more than what they're trying to take. When someone slaps you on one cheek, don't retaliate, but offer the other cheek as well. Now, as I'm saying that, I'm not trying to say that to put anybody in their place, right? That's not my goal here. But as followers of Jesus who are listening to the words of God, these aren't just good suggestions. I mean, they are good suggestions, but they're the word of God. His words need to shape how we as followers of Jesus live our lives, especially in turbulent times, right? So we need to be true to God's word. We need to live like we're called to live. We need to love like we're called to love. We need to listen like we're called to listen. When we speak, we need to speak the truth, but we need to speak the truth in love. And when we need to act with kindness and compassion, justice and mercy. Otherwise, we're just an imposter. Right? We're not the person we say we are as a follower of Jesus. If we're the good wheat, we're going to bear good fruit. We'll produce a crop, and we will reflect the heart of Scripture in our lives. Right? That's how we know we're genuine. I know this has been a little heavy, but I want to close with this because I think it's really important. 2 Peter 3:9 says this: "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Okay. God is patient. And we so often want God to act now, when there's injustice, when there's wrongdoing. And we know from this passage, look, he's going to sort it all out at harvest time, right? He's going to sort it all out in the end. But meanwhile, he is so patient with us. And that can be frustrating, that can be hard, but it's a good thing. Because we all need a minute to come to our senses and surrender to him. Right? That was true for us. And the same is true for those that we might look at and say, that's bad seed right there. God is patient, even with those who do evil things, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And the amazing thing, this is the most amazing thing, in God's kingdom, even the fake wheat can receive mercy and grace and become the real deal. Right? Even the fake wheat can become the real deal. It takes for us, though, to surrender to Jesus. He puts up with a lot. He does. Just to give everyone the chance to turn their heart back to him. We're going to close with a couple of songs of worship this morning. And the first one is a new song, and disclaimer, it's not Bob's fault, it's mine. I asked him to do this one. But as we sing this, it's called Hymn of Surrender. And the reality for each one of us is that's where we want to be. When we hear God's word, when he speaks, we want to be surrendering our lives, our hearts to him, and that should be our motivation. So let's sing this together as we close. I'm going to pray, and then we'll close with a few songs of worship. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you're patient, that you are so patient with us because we've needed it. We've needed it to come to a place where we'd surrender our hearts to you. And the fact is, as we hear some of these things this morning, there may be things in our own life that we're going, yeah, I'm not right there. My heart needs to change. And God, we want to confess that to you. We want to confess that we have not been perfect. We have not been right. Maybe we've been resisting you in some of these areas that have been mentioned. Maybe there's something in particular that's been stirred up in our hearts this morning, and we just say we're sorry. And not just that we're sorry, but we want to change. We want to repent. We want to turn our heart back to you. Thank you for being patient with us. Help us to show that same patience, that same love, that same mercy, that same grace to others who we may struggle with, that we don't understand, that we're battling. But mostly help us to have hearts that reflect your truth, your word, and what you long for us. And God, where we wrestle, we want to surrender to you now. And it's the spirit in which we sing to you that we worship this morning. We lift this before you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.